Reiner Schaug, self-appointed bureau chief for Western, Central, and the Maritimes on TSN, joins us. Schauger, how you doing?
Good today, buddy. How you doing? I see Andrew Ferentz was rescued. Thank goodness the city can relax, rest.
It was nice.
Not worry anymore.
Spider Mabel is quite the crime fighter for.
That's awesome, hey?
That is. It's great. Like every, you know. And you know what's great about it is I haven't seen one person complain about it, which to me shows that everybody still has the child within to realize, you know what, it's great to have an imagination because, you know what, when you're six, like, she's fighting crime with Spider-Man for a day. And that, when you know, a sick girl like that who's been sick her whole life and, you know, the only thing she wanted to do is be a Spider-Man, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was awesome. And I mean, who would complain about something like that? It's great. And everybody's on board. There was a huge crowd out there. To have Spider-Man there to do all the cool stuff she did. And I watched some of the video because, I mean, obviously we were covering Oilers practice, so we couldn't be there and see all of it. But it was awesome, some of the stuff she did, from the zip line to meeting the mayor and cruising around for clues, riding in a limo. And then with Connor McDavid showing up, that's a nice touch by the Oilers. And that's just one of those awesome things. So it was just a really cool thing. Good on Andrew, good on the Oilers and everybody who was involved. Very cool.
Oh, a great initiative and, you know, a lot of fun. And I'm sure it'll be a day she can remember just herself and then with pitchers for a long time. She's going to drop the puck tomorrow night at the Arizona Oiler game.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Good for her.
Yeah. So that'll be very good. Dropping the puck now, like the orders are down to, I know it says 32 on the roster, but there's four American League guys that are injured, so that takes it to 28. Teddy Purcell's injured right now, so it's 27. We know the battle and goal. Then there's a few forward and defense spots. From the conversation you've had with McClellan and others, do you think they're leaning to 14-7 or 13-8 as far as defense forwards?
Yeah, good question. I don't think they want to keep eight defensemen. I don't think that's plan, but as we know, sometimes in training camp, as it whittles down and it gets right close to the roster, sometimes contract situations can come into play there. Sometimes injuries can come into play there. But I mean, if everybody hits the regular season reasonably healthy, and it sounds like Purcell is getting closer more day to day, then I think their preference would be to be 14-7 and two goaltenders, obviously, right? And that might be just as tricky. McClellan said that they need to have a conversation organizationally about the goaltending situation, figure out what their options are. I think they want the traditional 14-7-2. I don't know that it's going to play out that way or they'll be able to, but I think that's what they would prefer.
Oh, yeah. No, I totally agree with preferring. As far as the goaltenders, Ryan, everybody's saying, well, maybe they can just trade one or you know, put Scrivens and they can get claimed. But the thing is, Calgary's got three goaltenders. Minnesota's got three goaltenders. And right now, a lot of people thought Backstrom would be the one that they would try to move. But he's played quite well. What do you see happening on the goaltender front? And who do you see leading that race?
Yeah, this is so tricky. I mean, statistically, I'd say that Nielsen probably has the edge right now. I mean, he's been perfect in the games that he's played outside of the overtime goal, so you'd have to think that gives him the edge. But there are other factors at play here, and this is not the problem, but this is what you face when you want to add depth to your organization and when you want to add competition at different spots. Well, this is the other side of it. This is the difficult part, why sometimes teams prefer to just keep it cleaner, real obvious who's in what positions, right? Rather than bringing in a bunch of guys. Because now, here's what they've got. I mean, on the back end, they've got, you know, they got Griffin Reinhart pushing hard for a spot, played really well in his performances so far and is pushing really hard for a spot. Well, there's a player that can come and go from the minors. He's competing against guys that are more veteran guys that have one-way deals. So it just creates a logjam and competition, but then tough decisions have to be made, right? What if he outplays Andrew Ferentz? I mean, what if he outplays Nikita Nikitin, which is quite possible? It's the same thing in net. Now they've got this three-headed monster, and Nielsen's pushing. So what if he wins the job? Well, now you've got a goalie at $2-plus million without a spot to play in your organization. I mean, they want Laurent Brossoit to start in the minors, not either of these two other guys. So it's tricky for them. And I don't know if it's they try and work out a trade. There's a lot of goalies around right now. I don't think there's a lot of teams that are desperate. The Islanders should just pick the guy up off of waivers. That might have been an opportunity for the Oilers to have moved one of the two. it's going to be really tough, but that's what happens when you bring in extra bodies to create competitions. They got to be creative and do a little juggling. So it gets tricky if Nielsen beats out Scrivens. Then what do they do? And it's tough. You carry three goalies and the awkwardness that that creates, that's not ideal. And I know they definitely don't want to do that. And do you play Scrivens to play ahead of Brossoit in the minors, which is equally uncomfortable?
Yeah, I don't, you know, that I think is probably worst case scenario for them. At least if you have Nielsen in the minors, he's still a young goaltender, right? So they look and say you can split duties with two young guys and have them both playing.
Yeah, but I mean, Scrivens in the minors with Brossoit just wouldn't make much sense. You'd think they'd go three goalies for a little while till it sorts itself out, right? Ben's got some work to do here. I imagine he'll get some time in the next game or two. I asked Todd today what his plan was with the goaltenders playing wise, and he said he didn't know yet. I'm sure he probably just doesn't want to say at this point, and that's totally fair. I think we'll see games getting split a little bit this full game. I mean, all the principal players here have been given their full game, and I think we could get down to, because they're running out of playing time. So they're stuck between wanting to give Talbot as much time as they need to give him to be ready and giving the other two fair time for their competition. So it'll be a little bit tricky. I think we'll see a game split here shortly. Maybe Talbot gets half and one of the two, and then they'll have a decision to make what to do on their second last exhibition game, and you'd have to assume Talbot will play on Saturday.
Well, see, there's the question. Now, I know there's so much talk about the backup. To me, Ryan, it's like, yeah, it's going to be hard, but I play Cam Talbot tonight, and I play him Saturday full game. I need your if I'm a coach, I'm like, I got to know that my starter is ready to go for the season, not a guy who's only played, you know, one full game in the last 2 weeks before the regular season starts.
Yeah, I think they can probably get away with giving him half a game tonight. I think I agree with you. They want to get him feeling it and get him in there, but I do think they can get away with playing him half a game tonight. You give him half a game tonight, and then one of the other guys goes, and then you probably give him the night off on, what is it, Thursday? Or sorry, tomorrow night. We're talking tomorrow night's game. Half a game tomorrow night, and then you give him the Thursday off, and then he plays the full game on Saturday. I don't know that you have to play him an entire game Tuesday and then an entire game Saturday. I think the Saturday is the one where you want to play him the entire thing, but you want to I know what you're saying, but it's still important. They need to figure this out. And these guys are, if they're close, they need to give them a chance to sort it out among them.
Okay, so let's say, for argument's sake, they do your theory. So Cam Talbot plays a half a game tomorrow. Which of those two goalies gets the half game tomorrow and then a half game again on Thursday? Isn't that automatically given one more an advantage?
Yeah, I suppose. You give somebody else an extra half game. Now, have they both played the same amount?
They've each started a full game and they split a half game together in Calgary.
Yeah, well, maybe that's the guy who you're giving the advantage to, is you give him another look to see. I know what you're saying. They're not bound by law to give them both equal playing time. So do you play Talbot an entire game tomorrow and then split those two on the next game, and that's basically the do or die game? But do you make a decision like that based on a half a game of exhibition play? It's tough, man. There's not enough playing time, as many exhibition games as there are. There's not enough to, when it gets tight like this, to sort it out. So I don't think that they have to play Talbot an entire game. I think they can give somebody two halves, the other guy one half, and then Talbot plays a half in their next two games.
Ryan Rashok, TSN, joined us. Slepyshev, you think he can make this team?
Well, he's going to need a little bit of help on the injury front, I think. If Leon Draisaitl continues to show well, then it becomes difficult for him. Now, let's talk about Draisaitl, because I think there's between Draisaitl and Klinkhammer and Slepyshev and Gazdik, there's kind of a few different scenarios that can happen. So Draisaitl's going to get a look with Taylor Hall and Connor McDavid. We're going to see how that looks. If that does not work, or if they don't see the look they want, you know, maybe he gets another game with Lander and Yakupov, but I'm not ready to lock Draisaitl onto this roster yet. I'm just not. I know he's played pretty well, but that was not a great lineup the other day. I'm not ready to write his name in pen yet. So a lot will depend on him And then Klinkhammer is also pushing. He's played fairly well. He's working hard, and he's putting up a little bit of offense, which is good. So do I think he has the ability to be an NHL player? Yes. Do I think he fits on this roster without at least one more injury? Probably not.
So you still don't have Draisaitl as a lock on this team?
No.
All right.
I just don't. And I think it's less about whether he can make this team or not and more about whether he should be playing in the National Hockey League or not. You know, it's kind of, do I think he's going to make the team versus do I think he should make the team? It's kind of two different conversations. From what I've seen, the pace in his game that we were so concerned about last year, it's a little bit better from what I can see, although we're not at full NHL speed yet. So really, the tail might not be told on Draisaitl for a few games into the regular season, where we'll see what starts happening. But you know, Todd McClellan wants to start him on the right side, and part of the reason why is because he doesn't have the pace in his game that he needs, and on the wing you can hide that a little bit. But you could make a real argument for, well, why hide him on the wing in the NHL as opposed to starting him at center in the AHL and letting him work on it, letting him get up to speed, and then you've developed him in his natural position, and if you got to put him on the wing, fine. I would probably just as soon see him develop at his natural position, and then when they need him, they bring him in at either center or wing. And there's a fundamental decision the organization is going to have to make here, because he might play well enough to make this roster. That doesn't mean they want to start Leon Draisaitl as a right winger.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because you look at so many players who have come into the NHL, Nathan MacKinnon recently, Stamkos, other guys who are centers who started on the wing for the first year.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be hesitant. I think you need to look at each specific player. And I think, you know, you just mentioned two of the best skaters on the planet, right? So when you look at what the player is working on, what's keeping him out of the league potentially, what's keeping him from being effective at that position, skating is something that, you know, it's significant for Draisaitl, and he definitely, and pace, and he needs to work on it. So can he get better playing on the wing in the NHL, or is that something that's better developed having to get up to speed in the American League playing 19, 21 minutes a night? And I can't help but feel that his natural position, top-line minutes in an offensive role in the American League, isn't the best place for Draisaitl to get his game up to speed.
It's going to be an interesting one. On the back end, Ryan, I have it right now, Greiba and Ferentz as the third pairing heading into the final week of the preseason with Reinhart, Nurse, Davidson, and Nikitin on the outside. Davidson and Nurse definitely guys I think are going to start in the American League.
Yeah.
Where do you have Greiba in? Do you have Nikitin or Reinhart? Where do you have those guys?
Yeah, as of right now, based on quality of play, I have Reinhart ahead of Ferentz. I have Reinhart in the third pairing ahead of Ferentz and ahead of Nikitin. I just think he's been steady enough, and he's shown well in the couple of performances that he's had. Ferentz had a little bit of a rough go in Saskatoon over the weekend. Seems to be fighting a little bit. So right now, I have Reinhart ahead of Ferentz. Now, I'm not saying that's what I think they're going to do. That's my own personal opinion on the way these guys have played. I can't help but think that if Ferentz is not going to be in the lineup, it's going to be because, you know, he gets opportunity in the regular season and they just can't justify it. I don't know that they start Andrew Ferentz in the press box to start the regular season with their captain. I think that would be a pretty tough play. So I think they'll give him the veteran benefit of the doubt. But I have Reinhart ahead of both Ferentz and Nikita Nikitin right now.
Well, it'll be interesting. You know, you talk about Draisaitl's pace of play. I think all the players, you know, Slepyshev and every other one else, see how they fare against the NHL player. And it's no different than Nilsson. I think Nilsson, he looked great against Minnesota, but those weren't even, you know, like, they had no top six scores on that team.
Sure.
Like, those are easy, like, easier, I should say.
I watched the game. I was there, and I get that there weren't a ton of their snipers in the lineup, and that's fine. But he still had to make, I can't remember how many saves he made, but he still had to make all those saves. They had some good scoring opportunities that he had to stop. I mean, a save is a save, and he made a bunch of them. And some of them were, you know, especially early in the game, were pretty difficult. So I hear what you're saying, and I agree with you. That's why I'm interested to see him perhaps get a game against a higher level of competition here in the next three games to see. But he still made some pretty nice saves and kept his team in the game and helped preserve that lead and played pretty well. So I was impressed with him.
What about Greiba?
Yeah, you know what? He's I think he's been better than Ferentz. I think he's a natural fit on the right side in that third pairing. He's a big physical guy. He's been what I figured he would be, which is a pretty clearly a third pairing guy, but who really keeps his game simple. He hasn't made major mistakes that make you go, holy smokes. He generally just plays within himself. And I think they need defensemen that can do that, guys that don't try and do too much. So I'm fine with him if they start the season with him on the third pairing. I don't see him at any point getting inside the top four, though, and I don't think they do either. I don't think that's why they have him.
Yeah.
But I think he's done exactly what he's supposed to do. And so that's why I have him locked in on that third pairing. And really, it's Griffin Reinhart, Andrew Ferentz, Nikita Nikitin in a battle for that roster spot. Or that position in the lineup, and then, you know, who do you want to have sitting in the press box? Well, you definitely don't want to have Griffin Reinhart sitting in the press box. So he could end up on the top pairing in the American League, just even though he might be the sixth best defenseman on this team.
Schwager, it's going to be an interesting week for the Edmonton Oilers. Some final cuts and see who makes or breaks it. To me, the goaltending one is easily the most compelling one to look at.
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's spots all over the roster where you kind of look at it with a raised eyebrow, wondering what it's going to look like, what their play will be with Gazdik. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's going to start the year on the team. But there's a few, I mean, forward, defense, goaltending, there's some interesting options. And they've got NHL players who aren't going to be in the NHL this year. And that's a little bit different than what we've talked about in years past.
Yeah, definitely. Appreciate your time, Ryan.
Okay, buddy. Have a good night.